What is up, everybody? It's episode number 2 of the week of the Fig Guys, and I am the OG Fig Kid, Thomas Montalto, and joining me again, as usual, the hottest hot tag partner in the business.
It's me. It's 2-time in 1 week, Mike B. How's it going, Tom?
I mean, I'm still riding the high of the, you know, a little peek behind the curtain. We just recorded the Cardona episode a few hours ago, and we're back at it again for episode number 2. I'm still trying to calm down for that, but I am so excited because this is an episode I've wanted to do for a really long time because we have another amazing guest here. We have our buddy Nick Extra Cooler from the Extra Cooler Show podcast. So are you ready to bring him in, Mike?
Of course I'm ready, man. I was born ready.
All right, let's do it. It's time for the main event.
The Garcia dance.
Welcome to the show. Finally, Nick, Extra Cooler. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so glad we finally got this to happen.
Dude, yeah. It's like it almost paid off waiting because there's so much more to talk about than when we first started coming on the show.
Yes, but, for sure.
I mean, I'm so excited. Let's talk first. Like, we all know the Extra Cooler Show podcast. We know your nickname, Extra Cooler. Why don't you just tell us? I know this story, but I love this story. And for the people who might not know, this story is amazing. Tell us where the nickname came from.
All right. So anybody that's listening to this podcast has seen Ghostbusters or Ghostbusters 2. So, you know, I'm in my 40s right now. And when I was in elementary school, Ghostbusters 2 came out and my uncle was writing commercials for Hi-C, and they had this citrus flavored drink that was getting a rebrand, which is kind of funny because, you know, it's like kind of like a wrestling gimmick there. It's getting a rebrand, repackaged, and it's going to get turned green and it's going to be themed around Ghostbusters 2. So he said to me at a Christmas party, he's writing commercials. And he's like, hey, they're looking for a new name for this drink. I told them we have the perfect clientele to help us pick the name. He displayed to me a handful of names and I picked Ecto Cooler. So that was back long time ago. And then, you know, everybody had an AOL screen name. And when it was time to create an AOL screen name, my good buddy Mike on our show, who's been my friend since first grade, he suggested use Ecto Cooler. So then about 9 years ago, when I went to start drawing wrestling related art, we were coming up with names. And my good friend Jim, who's also on the podcast, has been my best friend since second grade, he said, why don't you go with Extra Cooler? So a little tie back to the Ecto Cooler name, and here we are, Extra Cooler, almost 9 years later, still here.
That's impressive, man. I mean, how you do understand that you were responsible for like a massive outcry of fandom for for not only just the name, but the bad, yeah, people are still fighting for it, man.
I have friends who still like they collect this drink and have it from the last re-release. Like, anybody our age knows Ecto Cooler and love that Hi-C as a kid. There we go. There's the juice box.
It's wild.
Absolutely. But and it's so good also. Like, it's just
it's delicious.
Like, I always loved Hi-C, any flavor of Hi-C, but you know.
It's irreplaceable.
Without a doubt. Nothing has ever matched it. You can't recreate it. I've seen people try and recreate it online and come up with their own
No Dole juice is going to cover for the fantasticness that Hi-C put into that damn box.
It's so true, but you know, we're
that's
not here.
Amazing.
Like, I mean, in Ghostbusters, there's so many wrestling tie-ins also now. Like, we've seen
without a doubt.
Chelsea Green wear Ghostbusters, Cardona doing it on the indies, and it's just a
Ghostbuster
great
figures.
Tie-in.
Oh,
that's true. Ghostbuster figures. That's right.
We had Stone Cold Steve Austin with the backpack, man.
Incredible.
And the Undertaker, and like the best part of those crossovers is the box art. Like, it's just so much fun.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Even a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle one that they did just like last year. Like, do you watch that stuff? And like, what are your thoughts? Like, you must look at it being an artist differently than we do.
The figures?
Well, even the box art.
Oh, the box art to me is incredible. I would actually put that, I'm probably going to jump ahead, but I would put that as like one of the things on my bucket list that I haven't crossed off yet.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Just to check that question off for later.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But let's bring it back a little bit. Like, let's talk about the beginning of your. So you start with just an Instagram account, Extra Cooler, and you're posting your wrestling figure art. Just did it as a hobby. Did you ever expect it to get to where it is now? And talk a little bit of how we got here.
Yeah. So I honestly never would have imagined that 9 years later, I would still be doing this. When I started it, my wife and I had just moved in to our house, and myself and the other guys from the Extra Cooler Show, we were headed to SummerSlam for year two of the Brooklyn run. And, you know, at that point, and sometimes still now, there was like all the same, like black generic shirts. I was like, I need something to stand out. So I was coming up with a few different ideas. Time was running out, and I just redrew the Shawn Michaels Hasbro figure with the red and the white tights. And I just threw it on one of those sites, slapped it on a t-shirt, wore it down to the Barclays, posted it on the Instagram. Some guy saw me on the train ride down. He was like, oh, I follow you on Instagram. I only had like 100 followers at the time.
Wow.
This is for real. This is pretty wild. And then, like, you know, people would see it like online when you're waiting for a drink or going to the bathroom, and that's a sick shirt. It's like, oh, okay. So here's where we're going with this.
That's wild.
Listen, it happened to me at WrestleMania this year. I was wearing one of your shirts and somebody stopped me. So your shirt's vegan, and I had to give him your Instagram name so he could find out how to get a shirt. So
always appreciated. Yeah.
Oh, hell always. Yeah. Like, listen, this is an amazing community. So we're just here to support everybody and just help any way we can. Yeah. So your first dabble in wrestling figures, was that be the Micro Brawlers?
Yes. And actually, man, we're going to name drop him a lot, but thanks to Matt Cardona, you know, I had done a bunch of work for him, and I guess Pro Wrestling Tees, they were going to be pumping out a few extra brawlers, and he recommended me. I designed actually the Berserker micro brawler was the first one. And then I did a handful others, and then, you know, kind of, you know, Pro Wrestling Tees, they have a lot of guys that work for them, a lot of talent out there. I was very happy and thankful for the opportunity, but then Cardona came back to me and he was like, you know, it's only appropriate that we have you design the Indie God micro brawler, because I designed that ring gear for him. So it was wild. I have it back here. I actually have it in my classroom too. And I tell the kids that it's the pointer finger that he's holding up for that brawler.
It is.
But yeah, that was the first one. And, I've done a slew of different micro brawlers, throughout the years. And it's a fun little thing.
It's now, cool, man.
Does your art have to change when you're actually designing something as a figure compared to you just drawing? Like, what is the difference?
So it's, man, I like to think of myself as a bit of a chameleon. And I think of that, I often tell people it's because of my day job, right? I'm an elementary school art teacher. I work with kids from K through five all day, every day. It's the best job. It's the craziest job. But I'm teaching them so many different styles of art. So I feel like because of that, I can adapt pretty quickly. And, you know, like the brawler art has a very specific style to it and a very specific format. Like, a lot of the facial features are very similar. The shape of them, the poses are very similar. And then you just throw the ring gear on for it. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I got a bunch of them laid around.
So it's like an easy formula to kind of follow if you know what you're doing and you can just study a few of them.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's really cool, man. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be interesting moving from doing like flat art, you know what I mean, to making it something 3D. And
100%.
What's the vibe like when you get one in your hands that you've created? Like, what are you feeling like when you get your first toy in your hand?
Man, if I have to like sneak it away into my bedroom and open it so that my two sons who are 4 and 7 aren't present to help me open it. Because then if they haven't sent me enough of them, the battle starts of who gets that. I'm like, whoa, I'm the one who gets it. All right. Not you guys. So, but it's probably one of the most like surreal feelings. Like I said, I've had a long bucket list throughout these years, and I've been very fortunate enough to do a bunch of cool things. But physically holding like that little guy in my hands is one of the coolest feelings. And like, that's and awesome. Then on top of it, it's like Inception or the Matrix, just like seeing more of my art on the back of it that like I could just slap on it, you know? So
yeah,
it's a wild feeling.
That's awesome. And I love seeing like, or one of my favorite parts about wrestling collecting in general is like watching wrestlers get their first figure, you know, and seeing that look on their face, like, and that vibe, like, oh, can I call my mom? I'm going to show her this. Like,
right.
I mean, it's got to be that same kind of it's thing. Very, like, oh, I made this.
Yeah.
Look at my baby, you know?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. And like, it's also the feeling of like, after you design it, I mean, I knew Cardona has always been good to me. I've designed a ton of shirts for him and gear for him. So like, I knew if I designed this for him, he was going to make sure I got it. But like when you do other things, you're like, am I going to get it? How am I going to get my hands on it? How quick can I get my hands on it? You know,
100%, man. Yeah. That's so cool though. Like it's like, I love the Micro Brawlers. One of my favorite lines out there because it's just so easy. And so like, there's so many of them, you can collect whatever ones you want. Yeah, man, that's a trip, dude.
They're very fun. Yeah.
I can't even imagine trying to be a completist on Micro Brawlers today because there's so many limited ones, and there's AEW ones, and there's just so many different ways to get them. But again, if you're a collector of those, it's a fun thing to do. So that was the first actual toy type of item you designed, was the Micro Brawlers?
Yes.
So what came next? Was it the plush little Cody?
Yeah. So, what was it, about 2 summers ago, August 2023, most people that are in the wrestling community know of Justin, the Wrestling Classic. He's been a good friend of mine and always helpful in the community. And he set me up with a call with a Canadian-based company, and they were looking for an artist. And they had a few different projects, one of which I'm sure we're going to get to. But they liked the way that I worked on that project. And they said, hey, we also have this line of plushies that we've done and we need a whole new batch of them. So can you basically take this style and create guys, you know, 1 through 10 of them? And again, it's really interesting to take a style that's already established and basically copy it, but make it as a different, you know, wrestler. So the plushies, the Cody plushie was next.
That's cool. That's going to be even bigger trip is walking into the store
and
seeing something that you made. You're like, wow, it's got a price tag. It's on a shelf in a completely different ballgame.
So that one actually took a while. Like they sent that company made sure to send me that and a bunch of others. And I also slipped in like, okay, I got two boys. So just give me an even number of something if possible. So they sent me that, but then it took us like months to find it in store. People were telling me they were finding it. And that was, to me, that was like the big thing. I wanted to be able to walk into store, walk down that aisle and see like something I designed in that toy aisle next to the wrestling figures. Cause like growing up, that's what I did. I used to call Toys R Us every Wednesday to make sure like what Hasbro figures they had in stock so that I could then hound my mom to drive me over there so I could get it. So that seeing it in person is definitely the wildest thing.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And those calls to mom and bothering and pestering the parents, like, come on, we gotta go. Friday was our day. I remember Chip going to work with my dad, playing hooky from school a couple of times.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys got the Dudley boys in yet?
It's so funny because
me, it was always LOD in stock. Yeah, never was in stock.
I still know all the phone numbers to the local toy stores on Staten Island from calling them every single day as a kid. It's like incredible. I know Toys R Us, KB Toys, and a little local store, Smiling Sunnies, was just like amazing because they would get everything in. Like they were kind of like ringside. You could get the figures there months before Toys R Us would get them, but you paid a little more. But the guy got to know me, and he would hold them for me, and that's why, like, that's how I started my wrestling figure collection.
Yeah. Here you are.
And here I am.
And here we are. Yeah.
Exactly. What was that, Tom? What figure line, like, do you remember?
Oh, dude, I was at that toy store the first day LJNs came out.
I was going to say, because I know you're not much of a Hasbro guy, right?
You're but no, because the Hasbro's killed it for me because I was an LJN kid and I'm playing with figures this big and then I get something that big and I'm like, how do I play with this? So, and again, we just talked about this with Cardona. Like, so much of what you prefer depends on your age when they were released.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, I think LJNs are the most playable wrestling figures ever. Like, I can't imagine playing with a Hasbro to this day. And even Mattel's, the current day figures are amazing, but like there's so much articulation, like to try and do a move where if you're playing with LJNs, like I did so many moves with them. It's like crazy. Like it's just, but the imagination as a kid, it just never went away. Like, and now I get my big rubber guys and I still, like, I just want to take them and play with them. And I haven't yet, but I just
love them. They are so well done. And you don't have, like me, my sons have their bins of wrestling figures. And, you know, we don't really care so much of what we get, just as long as they can get the guy. but we have a whole bag of all those little extra hands sitting in a bag.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And I'm always don't open this bag. Please don't open this bag. I don't want to clean up all these hands.
I've got the same thing, and I'm 50 years old.
Hard. It's a hard thing to keep tabs on, man. Yeah, especially with the kids, you know. My girls are always like, give me that finger. I'm like, oh man, like just don't go more than 3 feet away from me with it, please.
Do you ever just have to like pinch yourself thinking, okay, this Instagram account I started for fun is now bringing me an income for something I love doing. It's not even work.
It's absolutely insane. And I've been fortunate enough that like when I first started it was drawing things for fun. And now it's like you said, I'm drawing things because people are commissioning me to draw these things. And it's the most surreal thing that I don't have time to draw for much for myself because I'm so busy with other projects. And it's a beautiful thing. And I'm forever grateful.
Like I say, there's so many worse problems to have than having.
Oh my God. Without a doubt. 100%.
But you mentioned doing Cardona's gear. Like who else is like, I know, but tell us who else's gear you've designed.
Yeah. So I've designed a bunch of gear for FTR, and this goes back to the time of having that time to draw for myself. and one of those things was I drew a piece of just the two of them of FTR in like a real, I used all their, you know, the seven colors that they typically use, the bright colors. I posted it. Nothing. Like, you know, sometimes you hope for like that. You hope for a like, maybe you'll get a follow from a wrestler. Maybe you'll get a comment. This is awesome. Thank you. That nothing, crickets. And I was like, okay. Then out of nowhere, months later, I get a DM from Dax. He's like, hey man, I love this. Anyway, any chance I can get a print for my bar? So anybody that knows Dax and follows him on Instagram, he's a big tequila drinker. And he's got a bar and he's got all like, you know, fan art and his belts hanging up. So I was like, yeah, sure. And, you know, I thanked him. I was like, if there ever opportunity for me to design any shirts for you or whatever, I would love to work with you guys. Okay, cool. Right off the bat. Yeah, let's do this. Let's turn this into a shirt then. What? What is happening right now? And that first design that I did for FTR was the first thing that I ever saw on a wrestler on television. And that blew my mind. And then after that, he liked the way that I worked with them, that they asked me to create ring gear for them. And, you know, I've created countless trunks, designs for their trunks. Cash actually wore a skull on his boot for probably well over a year, I would say. And to me, working with those guys is just one of the craziest things. Every time they pop up on TV, they're on TV right now wearing a shirt design that I've done for them.
That's awesome. I worked with Cash, I mean, geez, it's probably like 10 years ago in the local independent here. They were from Carolinas. They would always come up, you know, up to the monthly shows. And I ran into them in Vegas a couple years ago when I was doing some work with AEW and stuff. And like, I was like, dude, extra cooler. They're like, yeah, man, extra cooler, baby. And I was like, yeah, dude. And he's like, you know them? I was like, yeah. And it was a cool like little conversation.
That's awesome.
But it's you know, it's so weird because like even with the figure photography, it's kind of like the same vibe. You hope you get a like, you know, a little maybe like a hell yeah, that's awesome. And it's the best when they appreciate your project.
God.
You know, and that's so cool to see to hear that FTR is good people, because they are good people, and the word needs to get out there more.
Yeah,
they really are. Like, not only are they like the second greatest tag team ever, I could only put LOD above them because Road Warriors are just legendary. But
Road Warriors, yeah.
I love FTR, but listening to Dax's podcast and being big fans of there, you follow them. They just seem so down to earth and just like such awesome guys, that just guys you'd want to hang out with and have a beer with. If I drink,
without a doubt,
so, I could drink tequila though. And
I've had some tequila with them.
I
don't remember the next day, or I don't remember the evening too well, but I did have some tequila with them, and they got heavy pours. I will tell you that.
So,
who else have you seen your gear on TV or designs on TV?
Those are like the big two, you know.
Yeah.
I wish that it's gotten out there more. And I, you know, right before we recorded this, I was thinking, as I'm putting my son to bed, like what I've worked on over the 9 years. And there's so much that I've almost lost track of. So much that like I've not forgotten, because it's all saved on my iPad. Sometimes I'll go into the archives, or, you know, one of my best friends, he'll always repost my old artwork when something hits. And there's so much that I've worked on that I don't even remember. I don't. The FTR one will forever stand out as number one.
Dude, yeah. You've worked for us many of times. You designed our logo.
Yes,
you did our first shirt. We have something special now coming in 2 weeks, which is one of my favorite things ever. And I'm not going to spoil it here, but we're going to show it on our 1 year anniversary show.
Honor. Yeah.
but like that, like, is like a dream come true to me. And maybe people might figure it out or not, but it's I never imagined that with me being on it. Like,
you look just great in a mini skirt, Tom.
Thank you, dude. Like, my legs. I even had to shave my legs. So I know that's not where it ends with the toys. You actually had a product come out not too long ago that you designed from the get-go. Let's talk about that whole process and how that came about.
Yeah. So originally that was, you know, going back to what I had mentioned with Justin Wrestling Classic, he put me in touch with this company based out of Canada. And we sat on a pretty long call at the end of the summer, and they had some ideas. Basically their thought process was they wanted something where, you know, if you're a parent or a collector and you're in that aisle and you want to grab something small, you know, like anybody that has kids that's in the toy aisle and their kid is hounding them for something, especially nowadays, toys, everything costs at least $20, it feels like.
Yeah.
They wanted something in that $5 price point. So they were going to be blind bags, but they wanted to get like these little figures. And here, I'm going to show them on here as I wrinkle the bag. This is the Cody Rhodes that I designed for them. They're little squishy figures. Right. And like my sons collect anything from, you know, wrestling figures to basketball to football, NFL, MLB players. And they just love having them for whatever reason. It's like the micro brawlers.
Yeah.
And the idea behind this was, again, something in that $5 price point where if you're walking out and you're checking out and you see, oh, hey, WWE, oh, I'm going to get that for me, or I'm going to get that for, you know, my son or my nephew or my grandchild, or for, you know, this birthday party my kid has to go to. So that was pretty much the idea. They presented that they wanted it to be like a squishy material, kind of like a stress ball. And so then right away, you know, the wheels started moving and I started sketching. I was like, oh, holy crap, this is an opportunity for me to start and create something from complete scratch. You know, it could be as realistic or playful. And to me, you know, spoiler alert, I'm definitely not as big of a collector as you guys. And I'm not even that much of a collector, just because, you know, when my sons were born, you know, everything kind of went to them. And that's where my money goes these days. But I feel like a lot of like the content outside of, you know, the Mattel figures, it's got like a really serious look to the face sometimes.
Yeah.
It's almost a little too serious. And having a 4-year-old, I wanted to have something that was fun for like that age range, something like really playful. So that's kind of where That was where my direction was. Have him big and bulky, like a wrestler, like a Hasbro. Sorry, Tom. but like a playful, face. You know, something that's fun and gentle. Yeah. Almost.
It's so cool. They remind me of the Pillow Buddies. Like, we kind of got that vibe to them. Like when I seen them, and it's they're awesome. It's like almost like a vibe of the Pillow Buddies mixed with like a ice cream, like an old school ice cream bar. You know what I mean? And like, so cool. Yeah. But I love the concept of them because like anybody who has kids right now, all your kids are obsessed with squishies. Yes. Like my daughters go nuts. Oh, anytime they see anything. Yeah. Like we, at one point we bought the Krispy Kreme logo in the squishy, like, and they were like, like they just wanted it, you know?
It's so wild, right?
It is, and it's such a cool crossover. Honestly, I think it's untapped market for pro wrestling. Very, very, very awesome.
Thank you. I think so. And you know, I'm hoping that they did well enough that the other ones that I've designed came out, because you know, the first one was Cody, Cena, Hogan, and Roman, which I have them in my classroom. And you know, there's a good percentage of kids that are not wrestling fans, especially the girls in that elementary age range aren't, all unless like their dad or they have a brother that watches. And the funny part is, and I never realized it. Maybe you guys did. I didn't see it anywhere, but I've had so many little kids look at the John Cena, and he's got that like more recent Last Time Is Now, but it's like the baby blue with the orange hat.
Yeah.
And they're like, who'd you make? You made, what's that guy's, Roman Reigns, Hulk Hogan, Cody Rhodes, and is that Blippi? Did you make a Blippi figure? No, that's not a Blippi figure. All right, kid.
That's hilarious.
It's okay, John, I guess, Cena, all right.
I don't know what Blippi is, so I guess for me not having kids.
Know. Oh, yeah. Dashie's probably watching Blippi when you're at work. So you know. That's hysterical, because I would have never put those two together before. Either. That's funny as hell.
Because if I did, I would have definitely suggested to the company, let's go with a different gear.
Yeah, right. But hey, it might drive sales. So there is that. If somebody might be like, this is a WWE Blippi figure. And like, boom, you're good to go.
You're right. 100%. You know what? The craziest part in doing this whole process, right? So especially with these squishies, is like, and you guys maybe, again, know this more, but the little things that certain talent has them zero in on. So I designed all four of these figures, right? And I just gave them standard black eyes, standard solid color eyes, because it's so small. The one note that they came back with was, please add blue to John Cena's eyes, which I thought was so interesting that John Cena needs to have the blue eyes.
Now I'm going to go check every single action figure of mine and make sure he has blue eyes, because
let's see.
He's no joke. The only one of these that has the blue eyes.
I mean,
he's got blue eyes in here.
It's like a chase. That's crazy. That's so, I mean, authenticity, baby. Maybe that's what it is. You got to see the baby blues. That's what got him hired.
Right. Yeah, I know.
You mentioned you do your work on the iPad before. Are you 100% working on an iPad nowadays, or do you ever take out the pencil and go old school and actually just draw on a piece of paper or canvas?
If I am at work, at school, in the classroom, then yes. But at home, unless I'm working with my boys, like, and they're drawing, but even them, they always want to draw on my iPad. I would say I'm like 98% on the iPad, just because of convenience. You know, I can sit on the couch with my wife and we could watch a show, or I could watch a game or wrestling and have it on and be drawing. And whether I'm, again, doing something for myself or working on something, it's just the convenience is incredible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, I get a great follow-up to that. It's like, how has art transformed for you over the years? Like, I mean, you could literally type a prompt into something and get a full-blown picture. And yet, it is wild, but I mean, hindering as well, a little bit, but also it's got to be crazy in the mindset too, and be like, man, like, if I see where it can do it, but like, nothing beats doing a pen and paper, you know what I mean?
It's a really interesting thing, and I've felt like very conflicted with a lot of it lately, because you see so much of it out there. And I've said out there before, I'm like, wow, it's pretty crazy that like I used to do this because I wanted to draw that
Uh-oh.
He froze.
He froze. He froze.
I stumped him.
Let's hope he unfreezes in a second. But,
sorry, guys.
You're all good. There he is. He's back.
You're back. What were you saying? You said you wanted to do this, and then you froze.
No, so I used to do that all the time, and now you can put it into a prompt and just say, like, draw me, Paul Heyman giving a nut shot to Roman Reigns in a cartoon style, and there it is, you know? But at the same time, it's out there, and then you know it helps you. We all have to learn how to adapt to it, especially as artists. 100%. And I think right now we're in such an infancy stage of seeing it and seeing it being used so frequently. At the same time, like, I'm cool with it because, you know, people, I'm not going to sit here and hate on it. I'm not going to use it. You're never going to see me post it. But at the same time, like, if you have a vision and you can't put it down on the iPad or a piece of paper and you want to type into that ChatGPT, like, go for it, man. Have fun. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, by all means.
Yeah. I think it brings more eyes on the art in general because more people are doing it. And then they'll find, like, say, an extra cooler that actually does it. They'll be like, oh, shit. Like, this is way better than I would imagine, you know? So that's got to be the positive side of it.
Yeah. The downfall to me is the irresponsible and the younger audience who don't necessarily, like, they need to be taught how to use it in the right way and not, like, you know, kids will and irresponsible people will claim it to be their own and you can't do that. Like, that's just, we all know a robot made it. It has a very distinct look to it. And that's cool. There's always flaws. I like it. It's like, you know, when you go to the bar and you have those games, like, find the differences between the two pictures. I always like to find the spelling mistakes and all the little, the little blips throughout it. So I can't hate on it.
It's good. I hear a lot of positives, a lot of negatives, but it's inevitable, right? Like, so at some point it's either you adapt or you're gonna be forgotten about.
I said to Matt, my best friend, I said, I'm very lucky I started Extra Cooler when I did, because if anybody's looking to start now's not the best time. I still encourage it, but, like, you've got to find your own way.
Yeah, 100%.
And you got to make it unique and yours, and then people will appreciate it. If you're 100%. Doing something everybody else is doing, then you're not going to catch on, probably.
Yeah.
Here's a question. And you being a teacher, working with kids every day, you may be able to answer this, but what makes somebody like you be able to draw and somebody like me not be able to even write? Is it the way you look at things? Like, I really would love to see things through your eyes, because I think you probably see more detail and shapes differently. Like, to me, it's amazing seeing someone like you be able to draw when I can't. And it's just a talent I wish I had.
Thank you. Thank you. I do think there's different levels of it. I like, being someone that works with the little kids, I see, like, super naturally talented kids who, you know, from a really young age can draw. And I show them always my drawings as a kid, and I've posted them on my Instagram before. Like, I was never considered the best artist in my class growing up. I was never considered that in middle school, high school, college. But it was just something I always loved. So I just kept doing it, right? Art is subjective. And, like, it sounds corny, but I tell the kids that all the time. If you love it, you have to keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
And it just like anything else, playing a sport, the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it, of course.
Yeah.
I do think there are certain people that can see things differently, like with an artistic eye versus, you know, not, you know, there's plenty of people there who have a beautiful camera on their phone and have no clue how to take a picture.
So true.
You know, but just even if you feel like you can't do it, just keep doing it. Right. Like, don't not do it because you're worried about what someone's going to think, or, you know, you're only going to get better the more you use these tools that we have available to us.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Don't be mad you can't draw.
I'm not mad I can't draw. I just think it's such an amazing talent that I love when people could do it. But you mentioned photography. I was a photographer for magazines for years, and I like a frame a photo and take pictures. However, it comes to posing a wrestling figure, and it's like I could barely pose him. And Mike is there making it look so lifelike, like he's running to the ring, and my guy looks
It's incredible. So, I love those photos, like, because that's
fun.
That's like what we would do as like kids. I have like my first rolls of camera, and it's like just like wrestlers inside the Hasbro ring, like posed, or like I had the LJN ring. So whenever I would use, I would always get mad, like, you know, going back to what Tom said with the size difference of them. Like,
yeah,
I had a ton of LJNs that my dad just would get me just to try and get me into wrestling. And then when I got into wrestling was with the Hasbros. But then I got always pissed me off that I could never wrestle them against each other because they would come up to like waist level.
If even, and, you know,
I now think how lucky kids are today, because if you buy AEW or WWE, you're having like the worlds collide because they're the same form. And like,
there
might be such a slight size difference, but a kid's imagination, you're not seeing that. No. Whereas you said, a Hasbro to an LJN, it's like having Hornswoggle fight The Rock or something. So, and who wants to do that?
They never had the rings right in the early years, like with the LJN and the Hasbro rings, and then the Hasbro finally came out with theirs, and then Hasbro's kind of died off, which was a bummer. But then they came out with the Bone Crunchers, and the Bone Crunchers had the LJN ring again, and it made no damn sense.
I got the Bone Crunchers, and I remember just trying to use them in both rings, and I was like, what is going on?
No, it was chaos. It was whipping them into the corners. Too much real estate for some little figure.
You mentioned your dad trying to get you into wrestling. Was he a wrestling fan?
More of like a casual wrestling fan. He grew up one of eight, and he has five brothers, so they would always like watch it a little bit. And you know, I grew up in Westchester, so a lot of people have heard of the Westchester County Center. That's where I went to my first event. You know, I can remember going there at 4 years old. That's like one of my earliest memories, and I remember going there with my dad and my uncles and my grandfather. Man, I, for whatever reason, I've often asked him, like, why would you just buy me wrestling figures? Like, thank you, but I wasn't into it. I didn't watch it. Like, he would just randomly buy me LJNs. I have like 20 LJNs that I remember playing with, but I don't ever remember watching wrestling at that time period.
That's wild.
Except for Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling.
Yes.
That was number one.
What is your earliest memory then of wrestling, and like, what hooked you?
So what really hooked me was Christmas, getting Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Million Dollar Man out of left field. Again, not watching wrestling. That's what Santa got me. And I was like, okay, I got to give this a try. And I can remember watching like Superstars building up to WrestleMania 6. WrestleMania 7 was really when it took off for me. My best friend Jim and his brother got it on pay-per-view. My dad, their dad was a police officer, so he was on duty at the time, and their mom was having a hard time hooking up the cable box to get it. My dad went over there, hooked it up for them. They ended up recording the event on VHS that Monday in school. Jim, I can still remember him handing me the VHS. You know, got home right away, popped that bad boy in, watched WrestleMania 7 the rest of the afternoon. And from there, that moment was like, the rest was history.
That's awesome. I missed the VHS game. You know, that was a big deal, man. Tape trading. I mean, even as a little kid,
I
remember
God.
Handing out tapes back and forth. Some kid named Jason that I went to school with would be like, here's this one, man. Did you catch this one? Here's ECW from 2 weeks ago. And you're like, this is amazing.
We used to even just the simplest thing. Like I can remember recording Raws, pausing it on a commercial, restarting it right before it would come back on, and like, oh god,
time enough for
I still have so many of my home VHS tapes of recording wrestling, like all the MSG network that we got luckily living here. I have so many of the garden cards still on VHS, and I just want to get something to convert them to digital so I could just go back and watch the original, not on like Peacock where they edit it down and take out what they don't want you to see. So
I would take that in. Have somebody else do it for you and just be like, there we go, we're done.
I have way too many tapes to pay for. I'd be much better off just buying something for myself.
A converter.
So you mentioned, you know, Matt and Jim and Mike. Talk to us, like, how did the podcast come about?
Oh man, it's
like
go
back
the most...
to the beginning. Like when you were in school, you said you knew Jim and Mike. Were you all into wrestling back then?
Yeah. So Mike and I became friends in first grade. We were in the same first grade class. And you know, like most friendships, you come and go. Like we left, you know, we were friends for a while. And then second grade, I met Jim. Jim and I, it was basically me, Jim, and his brother. And the three of us were inseparable throughout elementary school. Like I said, WrestleMania 7 was when it took off. Then around like fifth grade was when our group kind of started to expand and added more. And we were all into wrestling. Everybody was into wrestling at that point. Then high school was the Attitude Era. You know, people, we had a hardcore title that was defended during school hours. It was just like the wildest thing. You know, people giving stunners in the lunchroom, like everything you would imagine about the Attitude Era. But then, you know, fast forward, we continued to watch wrestling. I went to college, graduated college, went to get my first job out of college to make some extra money. And that's when I met Matt in 2004. And he and I have been really two of the best friends that a guy could ask for since then. We were each in each other's wedding. All three of these guys have been in my wedding. you know, we hang out on a regular basis. We talk every day. And we've been watching wrestling together since. And actually, there was like that lull, right? In like, we just covered something on our show from 2009 where like we didn't really watch wrestling, like 2009. And we all played on a beer league men's softball team. And I can remember we were like warming up for the game and Jim got to second base and he started doing the Daniel Bryan yes chant. And we kind of like looked at each other. We're like, are you watching again? Like, are you watching again and not telling me? And we're all like, yeah, I watched Raw last night. Like, oh, me too. What? Really? I've been watching Raw for the last month. Someone said, you know, and then since then, we've all been watching wrestling pretty consistently. And now we have a podcast that's about to hit 5 years.
Well, congratulations on that, man. That's such a wholesome story, though, because like I can't even name half of friends I had when I was in grade school, let alone still talk to them. So that's a beautiful, beautiful story.
Thank you. Yeah,
it really is. I think back to like being in school and my wrestling. One of my best wrestling friends in school was actually the ECW Zombie. We would go and pick up our LJNs together. My mom would drive us, and we would go to Smile and Sunny's and pick them up. Oh, so it's God. Like awesome thinking back to those days. It's funny, when he debuted, I didn't even know it was him.
Oh my God. Like, that's amazing.
I reconnected with him after that. And I always used to think that poor guy just got paid to have Sandman beat him with a kendo stick. Yeah. Like, I felt so bad for him. Then I find out it's him, and it's like he's telling me the whole story, how it came about. And you know, now he passed, like bless his soul, but like probably my best wrestling friend as a kid. But I think the chemistry of you guys, I think that's what makes me enjoy your podcast so much, is just the chemistry between the four of you, the camaraderie, the laughs, the inside jokes. To me, it's the only nostalgia podcast I've ever listened to. Sorry, Mike.
I don't know what you're talking about. No,
but it's just like, it's so digestible the way you guys do it. It's so much fun. And I like look forward to it all. And if you guys haven't checked out the Extra Cooler podcast, you must check it out. It's absolutely great.
Thank you.
But we have a fun little,
it's a relationship you can't fake. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's not synthetic. It's not, it's one of those things where it's like, you guys all love each other. Like it's awesome. So me and Tom get along.
We're lucky. We've got together during the pandemic and it took off, and people say they love our chemistry. I don't know why, but they do. And we're good. We're like the Muppets, Waldorf and Stitler. Yes. Like, there we go. So,
come on, and
again, I know you're a big Muppets fan, Nick, and so am I. I've seen every Muppets. The only way you get me to a movie theater these days, if there's a brand new Muppet movie or a Star Wars movie. Yeah, I don't go to the movies for anything else, but Muppets, I collect Sesame Street stuff. I'll collect Muppet stuff.
Hell yeah.
Like, God, I'm all in on that.
I love
stuff.
It. Same.
I've never outgrown it. And now they have those new Sesame Street figures. Have you seen those?
I have.
I think they're from Super. I got to get them. I mean, I hear people saying like, oh, people don't have nostalgia for Sesame Street. I'm like, bullshit, they don't. Bert and Ernie were so funny for their time. If you go back and watch Bert and Ernie now, there's jokes you didn't get as a kid.
Oh, no way.
And you just sit there wrong. You'll absolutely sit there wrong. But we're going to play a little game with you. We have a new segment we're debuting with our guests called the 10 Count Showdown.
Yes.
We're just going to ask you 10 questions. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just your opinion and what you feel. So
let's go.
You ready? Let's start with number one. And I know the answer to this one, but this is number one on the list. LJN or Hasbro's. Okay, maybe there is a wrong answer. Go ahead.
I got to go. You know, I love the LJNs, but I got to go Hasbro. That's without the Hasbro's, I wouldn't be here because, you know, starting with that Shawn Michaels shirt, I designed like before they came out with that like retro line. I was doing like the current day superstars in a Hasbro style. And then next thing you know, they come out and I'm like, well, damn, I guess this is done.
Yeah, I've heard your story on your show, I think, about that.
Hey, but inspiration comes in different forms. And those are the flatteries there.
Absolutely.
All right. Number two, Attitude Era or Ruthless Aggression?
Attitude Era, man.
Yeah.
That was nonstop for me.
It's hard, man. I feel like going back and rewatching it, because I did a lot of that, it still holds up, but in a different way.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, you're not hooked on the wrestling like you were as a kid, but the comedy over the top beautiful. So it's hard to disagree.
I think it's also like a time in your life, like when you watch certain wrestling eras, right? Like that, the Attitude Era was for me time of life where like everybody I went to school with was watching wrestling. And
hardcore titles in the hallways. That's fine. Right. It doesn't get better than that, right?
Absolutely. Okay. So the next question, best wrestling figure packaging of all time.
Ooh.
This is hard, man. I love the Hasbro's. It's just such a classic design, but the LJN art is so cool to me, that like retro vibe, how it like, it looks retro, but it's also timeless in the packaging. And it's just so, it's so clean. And there's so many little Easter eggs in there. So much more detail. And so I would go LJN, I think because of how many LJNs I have. And I wish I still had them in the package, or at least one in the package.
Yeah.
Dude, I have a Piper in the package right over here, but I would love to get more, but I agree. And obviously in 2 weeks, people are going to know a little more about this when they see what you worked on for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What do we got here? Ultimate Warrior Sprint or Undertaker Slow Walk?
If anybody that's listening to this podcast has listened to my podcast, our podcast, there's been many times where we have dumped on both of these guys and their entrances. You will also hear me frequently dump on the length of modern day wrestling shows. So I'm going to go with Warrior Sprint.
It fastens things up.
Yeah, speeds up a little bit. I don't need that.
He can make WrestleMania back to one night again if he really try.
Listen, I agree. Like I'm like you. Like we have so many similarities. I hate WCW too, but the Undertaker's entrance was always just so long and boring for me. It's just like, can you get to the ring? It's where my favorite version of the Taker was the American Badass. Like, give me that Taker all day long.
Yeah,
and he still drove around the ring four times.
He's got to milk it. I can handle the Taker stuff, like if it were once a year at WrestleMania. But besides that, I don't need it. Too drawn out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can't disagree. What's next, Tom?
Steel cage match or a ladder match?
Ooh, what kind of steel cage? Are we going like the regular fencing look or big cage. Blue? Not big blue.
Baby, beautiful, man.
Then ladder match. Wow, you need. I grew up with the other cage. The big blue came along when I was already into wrestling. I'm like, what is this? So,
I'm sure
that was your red Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
You know,
Jim and I still talk about it, like as we've taken our sons to different events, but our dads took us to the Westchester County Center, and the main event was Shawn Michaels versus Marty Jannetty in the big blue cage. And the Westchester County Center is not a very big arena. It's not a pain in the ass to get out of there, but our dads were tired and they were like, oh, we got to leave early to beat the traffic. We never saw the end of that match.
Oh,
and we still joke about that. Yeah. And we weren't like old enough to kind of like, you know, we were like, we were suckers. We were like goody two shoes, not too much, but we were like happy that they brought us there and we were like content with it. We're like, okay, we didn't put up a fight.
It's like when I go to a Yankee game and I see people leaving in a seventh inning and I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
I mean,
you
stayed
this long.
When I went 2 years ago, when I took my son to the county center for his first live wrestling event, he was five and, not going to lie, we left during the main event for the same exact reason.
Yeah,
but that was Seth Rollins versus The Miz, and I think we all knew the outcome.
Different times. Different times. Okay. Well, which wrestler's look is still on your bucket list to draw or paint?
Oh, man, this is hard. One of the guys that I've actually been fortunate enough to design a shirt for his estate, I guess, was early on was, Eddie Guerrero. Right. And, I love that design, but I've only dabbled in Eddie Guerrero like once or twice. And I feel like there's so much untapped potential of things that I could do with Eddie Guerrero. He's like that guy that I always want to go back and watch more and read more about him, like, you know, besides the death of Eddie Guerrero and after. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say Eddie Guerrero. And now when I have free time, Eddie Guerrero is on my bucket list. And that's what I'm drawing.
That's awesome. Favorite gear that you didn't design?
I'm going to go Survivor Series, brown pants, Shawn Michaels. No, just kidding. Oh, sorry. No, my favorite wrestling gear, it could be from any time period.
Sure.
Yeah. I go Shawn Michaels, the black DX gear. I love that.
Ooh,
the green with the green.
Yeah. It's so vibrant.
It really is.
It was really clean. And it was like such a nice, like a nod to the past, but the evolution of Shawn Michaels as well.
And that era, it's a very, like, he had different gear. Every event was something different.
Yeah.
I know. I heard on your last episode of the podcast talking how like the reformation of Triple H and Shawn Michaels VDX didn't hold like,
now,
honestly, if you go back and watch the original DX, I don't think it holds up either. It's like kind of hard to watch nowadays. Like
it definitely it's cringy for a different reason. You know, it's kind of like, did they really do this then? And like, it's I mean,
not,
I still
not a lot of things
of
from
it,
the 90s.
No,
holds up well.
No,
like
no,
that either.
No,
so
no,
it's
very
it's,
true.
It's you can feel the same way throwing on a WCW or an ECW event and be like, damn, they got away with a lot.
it's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to cut something out of the episode I did with you guys last year with Piper, if you remember when he had Slick on Piper's pit. But so there's some stuff that would never fly today. And I can't believe it hasn't come back to bite some people in the ass. But luckily,
I know.
Luckily,
wait, people
hasn't.
Dig things up. Like,
I know.
Just breathe. We got heel turn or surprise return.
Oh, that's a good one. I have always been that dick that roots for the bad guys. So I go for heel turn. I love a good heel turn, especially one that's like you just don't see coming out at all. Like those are the best. But the surprise return, man, is damn, that one's good.
Yeah,
I'm like you. Like, it's so hard even for them to have a heel turn or a surprise return that we don't know anymore. But when they do, it just hits different when you don't know about it.
Yeah,
and you don't see it coming. But sometimes, like you said, the best thing is the predictability.
Yeah,
yeah,
I like it.
Favorite wrestling figure from your childhood?
All right, this one. Holds a very special spot. Mine is the Razor Ramon Hasbro, and I've told this many times. My grandfather, who I talked about going to the events with, I can remember him being over our house over the weekend, and there was a Saturday night's main event on, and Razor Ramon was there. You know, I left the dinner table, he he's there with my parents and my aunts and uncles, and he sees me watching wrestling, and he comes and he watches a little bit with me. And he had like the most contagious, loudest laugh imaginable that my dad now has and that I'm developing out of nowhere. And he thought Razor Ramon was like the funniest thing imaginable, like especially like peak, like Razor trying to be Scarface era. He found it to be the funniest thing. That me and my dad then later took him to a house show just so he could see Razor Ramon. Anyway, I bought him one Christmas. I bought him a Razor Ramon Hasbro figure in the yellow card. And when he passed away at 99 and a half, again, he had 8 kids. So we all went over to the house to help clean it out. In his office, inside the desk, was the Razor Ramon still in the packaging. And wow. I have it hanging up behind me now because it's just, to me, it's like untouchable.
That's cool.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's amazing, man.
That is awesome. You just, you know, you just brought back a memory to me I haven't thought about since I was a little kid. I remember going to my dad's mother's house, and his grandfather would be there watching wrestling. He was off of the boat from Italy. He had the cane, and he would be yelling at the TV and throat, like pointing his cane at the TV at it. It was just so funny. I totally forgot about that. Like, I just love that I remember it.
That's the best.
Wrestling is for everyone.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. It really is, especially for the older, you know, generation out there. The grannies and the grandpas love it. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's the best. When I hear about an older person who like secretly still watches or used to watch, I think that's like the coolest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime there's an old lady in the front row yelling at MJF or something, you're like, that is exactly what wrestling's all about. Yeah. All right, what we got here? We got, if you could design a figure's card art, post, present, or past or present, who would you pick to design, and what action figure style?
Oh man, Shawn Michaels has always been my guy. I'd have to go Shawn. Like it doesn't matter the kind, but if I could do anything with Shawn Michaels, like to me, I actually like, not to toot my own horn, but when he cut off his ponytail, like around whatever WrestleMania that was, Pro Wrestling Tees came to me and they were like, we need something done, and we need something done today. Like, can you help us out? Here's the idea. We want to put Shawn in the barbershop chair. All you can see is the back of him, ponytail hanging through the barbershop window. Can you do it? And sure enough, I bang that thing out in like, it says heel turn, and it's just the barbershop set with him in the chair. And so anyway, back to that.
That's Shawn fantastic. Michaels
would be my guy. That's awesome. I haven't seen that. Is that on your Instagram? Yeah. I gotta go look for that. All right, cool.
Yeah, now I'll dig it up somewhere.
Last question.
It's out there.
You get one WWE entrance theme to play every time you walk into a room. Which one are you choosing?
The glass, man, the glass shattering is gotta be it, right? Stone Cold. It's so good. We've talked about some of the ridiculousness of entrance music. That's hard, but like the initial glass breaking is the coolest. Even like, you know, again, kids are so spoiled these days. Me, like growing up, I had to put like whatever retro video game on just to listen to the music. And it was like the 8-bit version of it. So I could play with my wrestling figures and have them come down to that. Whereas now my son's got like a whole playlist on his iPad that he just like scrolls through. And it's play when he wants Seth Rollins.
Got pyro and everything.
Oh, yeah. He's got his title drama video right there behind it too.
It's ridiculous.
Wow, today's kids.
Yeah, the glass shattering has to be it for me.
Ooh.
What does it mean for you? This is okay. We're done with the actually, it was 11 count showdown because
we had a bonus question.
Right?
You're allowed. It's your show.
But, I know one of the things I love is I love hearing like my friends sharing these experiences with your kids. What's it like for you to like even see your kids playing with a figure that you designed? Like, And just enjoying wrestling now. Like, I love hearing those stories. Like, this is the only thing that makes me wish I had a kid. That, and I need somebody to take care of me when I'm old.
It's honestly, it's like, it's the highlight of all of this is getting to like impress them because they think it's the coolest. And even beyond the designing factor, like, my son, when he watches events, you know, we'll let him watch like the first match, maybe the second match, depending on the time. And then he wakes up, he's an early bird, just like me. And he wants to watch, like, for example, WrestleMania Sunday. He woke up, wanted to know what happened in the main event. I said, you're going to have to watch, pal, to find that one out. But this, actually, the Saturday one was the one that really got him. He was glued to the TV on the Saturday of WrestleMania. Sunday, a little pissed like the most of us. But just getting to experience that and, like, just the stupid stuff. Like, now he's playing 2K25 with me, you know, or I'm trying to play it with him. He's destroying me on it.
Their little fingers are just so fast. That's why I won't play online.
Yeah, no, God, no. Oh, God, no. Can we lower the settings to easy?
I've done that too. Oh, man. We can't thank you enough for, like, coming and spending this hour with us.
Thank you, guys.
Why don't you plug yourself?
Plug everything.
Tell everybody where they can find you.
So you can find me on Instagram at Extra Cooler. Our podcast is called The Extra Cooler Show, available wherever you get your podcasts, especially if you're into listening to the nostalgia piece of wrestling, which we consider that to be our bread and butter, right? We pick a random pay-per-view, usually themed around what season it is in wrestling, and we cover it. It could be something super popular, or it could just be something really obscure. Whatever we're in the mood for, man. So yeah. Again, like, my artwork's out there at Extra Cooler and the Extra Cooler Show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Love it,
absolutely,
man.
A must listen to podcast, a must follow on Instagram.
Thank you.
Again, thank you guys so much. Just another quick reminder before we get out of here. You guys could win The Last Time Is Now, John Cena. All you have to do is go to thefigguys.com. The link is at the top of the page. It's very easy to enter. All you got to do is follow us.
Got the rest of the weekend to do it.
Yeah, you have till next Tuesday at 7, right before we go live with Fig Out. So,
this Tuesday.
Again, this Tuesday, that's right.
This Tuesday.
It's only a few days away now.
We don't even know what's happening next Tuesday yet.
No, we only have 2 weeks till our one-year anniversary as the Fig Out.
Oh, man. Cheers, guys. I really appreciate you guys having me on here. I'm glad we could make this work. It was a lot of fun.
No, it's a blast, man. I will always have time to talk pro wrestling, especially with such great people like you.
Hell yeah. Likewise, man.
Hell yeah, man.
All right. So, guys, go to thefigguys.com. Until next week, for Nick, for Mike, it's Tom. We will see you soon. Fig Guys out.
Thanks for watching, Fig Guys. Please like, follow, subscribe. And until next time.